Of course, Sir Auld never did turn up for the scheduled duel, and things were left just as they had been. You went back to Cornwall, and I went round the world, collecting 4 volumes worth of anecdotes for the autobiography I'm now writing. Since I last saw you, nearly 50 years ago, I've been a captain, merchant, traveller, journalist, lecturer, member of Parliament, much maligned colonial reformer in India, campaigner against slavery, campaigner against naval impressment, an enemy of Sir Auld's everywhere, if I do say so myself. But I never managed to be as remarkable as you, Emily, however hard I tried. You've been dead now 20 years. You died 2 years after we abolished slavery throughout the Empire. But I wrestle with your black ghost still. I think about you, wonder about you, try and fail to understand you.
What is there left to understand, my friend?
Why did you run away that day at Salomon's?
All of those years of my music, and you don't understand that?
Auld insulted your wife. You ran away like a coward.
Don't call my husband a coward. He is nothing of the sort.
Good evening, Mrs. Emily. It's a pleasure to see you again as well.
It's good to see you too, James. But I won't have my husband called a coward. What else could he have done? As a respected member of His Majesty's government, Sir Auld could have had us arrested quite easily if he'd wanted. You know what it was like back in the 1800s. My husband had a family to support, and a secure position in Cornwall with which to do so. I would not have allowed him to jeopardize that.
All right. But it's just...
Just what, my friend? You can ask me anything now I'm dead. You can't offend an echo.
It's just that you're walking away from Sir Auld like that. You're giving up on London so readily. I'm afraid it's somehow representative. I'm not sure how to explain myself, but sometimes I felt you were a hero. Sometimes I felt you ran away from fighting and hid behind this comforting, pretty music of yours. Damn it, Emily! You wouldn't even let me use your story, my pamphlet on the slave trade.
Politics, dueling. These just aren't my way of fighting, James. Music is my way. Don't you remember anything I told you about HMS Indefatigable? Well, let me give you another example. In Brazil, on the plantation, the overseers would encourage the gang to sing once again at the end of a gun barrel. He thought our nigger songs kept us sane and working hard. But we knew that the sweeter, the more harmoniously we sang, the more disturbed he would be by the contrast between our singing and our lives, the more disturbed his dreams would be at night. Sometimes lullabies can be the most terrifying melodies of all. Here, James, perhaps I can help you understand in a different way. I've taken the liberty to invite these 20 dead gentlemen along. They're one of the Philharmonica Orchestra. I think you once said might be sung in the Atlantic. And here's the ghost of your flute as well. I thought we might play one last time together. You were my best pupil by the time you finished. Of course, now we can't even play lullabies. Only ghost of lullabies, since that's all that's left. My symphonies, quartets, concertos, are all going to be lost, James. I know that now. They're already just a mouldering sheath of paper, filed away in a box, in an attic, full of boxes, in a house, in a road, full of houses, amongst people, increasingly mixed with lots of different peoples, In an empire full of multitudes of people, houses, boxes, and, most of all, papers. And soon, all that will remain is someone else's voice. A historian's, an actor's, a playwright's, a different composer. Then, silence.